Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Hope you've had an awesome week. So last Sunday night, we started doing a teaching from Galatians chapter 1. And, of course, I didn't finish it, so this is going to be part 2. And I promise I'm going to finish it, like I always say. I'm sure we'll finish it today. And then I hardly ever do. But anyway, in Galatians chapter 1, it's very interesting because we know for sure, of course, that Paul wrote the letter because he tells us that in the very first verse. He says that he and the brethren are writing to the churches in Galatia. Galatia, just to refresh your memory, is in present-day Turkey, Asia Minor. And that day, in those days, it was called various names, but it was usually called Asia. There were many churches there. It was the Greek world. Many churches had been planted by Paul. Many churches had been started by some others. It's hard to imagine because we think in our day of Turkey being a Muslim nation and having 10% of the population be Christian, but that area was a center of Christianity for many centuries. In fact, Constantinople didn't fall till the 1430s, and it was over probably 1,200 years from the time of Paul, where the people in that area were 100% Christian. And like I said, it was a great center of Christianity, that Constantinople still is. That being said, in this time when Paul is writing, he has evangelized the people in that area. He has overseen other people who were involved in evangelizing that area. Churches had been started. These were home churches. And again, I have to emphasize, they were not church buildings until the 300s. People met in homes. And these were the so-called house churches that some people still try to do today. But in those days, it was the only choice. There was a lot of persecution. And we're not going to go through all the history, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. So he writes this letter. You know, when Paul writes to a church, there's usually an issue, Philippians being the exception. He really liked the church at Philippi, didn't really have any criticisms for it. Corinth was probably the most. But this church in Galatia brought out some anger in Paul because he says he can't believe. Well, let me just read. We're not going to redo last week's show because we covered this, but I'm going to start reading in verse 6. I marvel that some of you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So I'm just going to summarize that. And again, if you want to hear last week's show and get the full details on that, if you go to www.giftofgraceministries.org, all the radio shows going back to 2009 are archived there. That's www.giftofgraceministries.org. So he's very surprised at how people are turning away from the true gospel. In fact, the Greek means that it's an ongoing process that's like a military retreat, which really, really underscores how serious this was. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he talks about how at the end time there'll be a great falling away, which, by the way, we have witnessed and are witnessing. We have seen not a military retreat, but just a full-blown exodus from the true gospel. And there is only a remnant left, but that's a subject for a lot of other shows. If you've been listening or watching the YouTube channel, you've kind of gotten the idea on that. We live in very precarious but exciting times, and we're living at the end of the end times. And so we're seeing the great falling away that Paul talked about. But these people had, in a very short amount of time, Paul said he marvels at how fast it's happened, very short amount of time, are falling away from the gospel. And he says, if anybody teaches you a different gospel, they're to be declared accursed, even if it's an angel from heaven. Even if it's Paul, who comes back sometime later and preaches a different gospel, he's to be accursed. Well, in our day, in the 21st century of Christianity, the 21st century of the Christian era, we have any number of false teachers in every denomination, some more than others, but in every denomination, that are teaching a false gospel, that are not teaching the true gospel, that most of them and most of the people in their churches have no idea what the gospel even is, because it's been so perverted and so hijacked to fit with modern times. And so Paul is so upset with these Galatians that this makes him actually more angry than all the moral issues and leadership issues that he addressed in the Corinthian church. And what he's actually talking about here are the so-called Judaizers. These were Jewish believers who were teaching the people that in order to follow Jesus, they first had to come into the covenant of Moses, the old covenant, the Torah, the Tanakh, the Torah being the books of the law. Tanakh is the three different parts of the Old Testament. Tanakh is a general term for the Old Testament. Torah are just the first five books, as I'm sure you know. And by the way, if you want to hear see a very simplified survey course on the Torah, I have another YouTube page called The Torah Class, The Torah Class, that you can watch at your leisure. It's a 33-part study of Torah that's generally meant for Christians who don't really know much about the Torah, and it shows how it all points to Jesus, Yeshua, as Messiah. But we'll talk about that some other time, because here, Paul's very upset. Very upset. And he says you can't come and add things to the gospel, and you can't come and add law to the gospel of grace. The new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, is based on grace. And Paul says there are people who are fooling you trying to mix law and grace. There's some of those people today, but most of the false teachings today are along other lines, usually moral ones. But Paul is so confident in this proclamation that he's making that he repeats it. And he's not just talking about minor points. He's talking about the actual gospel itself. And he says, you're believing in a different gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. And of course, a different gospel can mean any number of things. But here, there were teachers who were adding things to the gospel. And he's furious about this. They're setting up the law, and saying that you also have to follow the law means that grace is not operative here, that the power of the cross is being denied, the power of Jesus' sacrifice of blood atonement, is being minimized because you're putting the law in front of that. And he says, we can't have that. There is something great at stake here. Because if the gospel's perverted, if the gospel is changed, it affects so many people. If one single pastor, priest, messianic rabbi, teacher somewhere in the middle of nowhere preaches a different gospel, he might affect a few people, and then he will be in trouble, and those few people will be in trouble. If a teacher who has a big audience starts to preach a perverted gospel, he threatens the salvation of hundreds and thousands of people. If whole denominations start to accept a hijacked or perverted gospel, millions of people's salvations are at stake. And you can see this is why in the book of James, James tells us if you want to be a teacher, you have to be extra careful because you will be judged more strictly because you influence a lot of people. If you just fall and go to some wrong gospel, that only affects you. But if you teach thousands of people, you may be responsible for their fall. So he says, he's implying there's great things here that are at stake. And that's why if you hear another gospel, the person or the angel even that says this is to be accursed. And that's really quite remarkable when you think about it. He says, even if an angel from heaven comes, he's to be accursed. So now let's go to verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I seek to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So in other words, listen to this and apply this to today. Paul says, I'm not here to please men. I'm not here for popularity contests. I'm not here to have a poll and be on top of the poll. I'm not here to make my church the top church in this whole area. I'm not here to be the leader over all of this. He says, I'm not here to persuade men. I'm not here to make everything easy for people. I'm not here to tell people what they want to hear, what they think the gospel should be, what they think salvation should be, and what they think moral conduct should be. I'm here to tell you the gospel. I'm here to tell you what all of the Old Testament has pointed to. And of course, when he's writing this, the New Testament is not in existence yet. So I'm telling you what all of the scripture has pointed to, and I'm telling you the gospel. And if you don't like it, that's fine. If you don't like it and want to pursue some other kind of a gospel, which, as he points out, is not a gospel at all, then that's fine, but there'll be consequences to it. So he emphasizes this calling that he has to preach the true gospel. He's talking about how this is so important that you can't just have people thinking whatever they want to think about the gospel like we have today. He says, I'm not here to please men. I don't really care what you think of me. You know, when I was witnessing to people when I was working in my office, you know, I would witness to whoever came in, and I would say, when you leave here, if you think I'm a crazy old man, I don't particularly care, because it's not about me. My job is to tell you the gospel, not to make myself popular. And Paul says that exactly. Not here to please men. I don't care what you all think of me. He says, if I worked on pleasing men, and of course that means pleasing people, if I work on pleasing people, I'm not a bondservant of Christ. I'm not a doulos. He always calls himself a doulos, the Greek word for a bondservant. If I just concentrated on pleasing the people who were here and making them feel good about themselves and making them feel good about their church and good about their whole existence and how wonderful everything is and how awesome everyone is, I wouldn't be doing my calling. I wouldn't be a bondservant. I wouldn't be a doulos. I wouldn't be a disciple of Christ. And of course, this is where we are today. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We don't want to be, quote, judgmental, unquote. And so people are sliding into the abyss, and church authorities could care less. Because the church authorities are now, along with trying to be like the world, want everyone to like them. It's like the time of Jeremiah, where the religious leader said, tell us something good. We don't want to hear all this bad news. We want to hear just good stuff. So he says, I'm not here to make you guys happy. I'm not going to gratify people at the expense of my faithfulness to Christ. Because, he says, this is what I've been called to do. So he proves that he really is a doulos. He really is a bondservant. If he told people whatever they wanted to hear, number one, he wouldn't be spreading the gospel. Number two, he wouldn't be faithful to the word. And number two is he would have been compromised by everything that was going on around him to make political points. You know, today you actually hear pastors, and I don't know if people in other denominations say this, but you actually hear pastors, you know, worry about, well, we can't say things that might hurt our tax-exempt status. And I always say, pay the tax. Take a couple extra collections, pay the tax. That way you're not bound to what the government wants you to say. Because I got news for you. Jesus is not going to be impressed at how well you kept your tax-exempt status. He's only going to care about how you preached his word and who you brought into the kingdom. So Paul wants to be a faithful servant. And then he goes on to say, verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, for I neither received it from a man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of the fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Let's pause there for a minute, because this is really powerful. So he says, he tells him his background. I was the most zealous Pharisee. I was the one who was the most zealous for the law, for the traditions of the fathers. I was the one who was advancing. I was the one who, all I cared about was the law and the tradition. He studied in the temple under Gamaliel from the time of his bar mitzvah to the time of the road to Damascus. We don't know exactly how many years that was, but probably 24, 25 years. All he did was study the law and learn the traditions of the Father. He was advancing. Here you see him boasting. I did all these things. I was the most zealous one. I studied the most. I read the most. I learned more of the background to all of this than anywhere else, than anyone else. I was advancing in my denomination. We have that today. People want to advance in their denomination. They don't care what they're preaching, don't care who they're leading to the Lord. They care about advancing in their denomination. And maybe getting an administrative position with some authority and some glamour attached to it. Maybe wearing cooler stuff when they get to do that. Paul was like that. He was advancing up the ladder. So he understood these false teachers very well. He understood these Judaizers very well. And he tells them, not only did he do all these things, but he persecuted the church. He tried to destroy the church. In the book of Acts, in Acts 26, I think it's around, I think it's like verse 9 and 10 or so, he's talking to a King Agrippa. And he tells him how he persecuted the church, how he imprisoned the saints, in quotes, because he had authority from the high priest to do that. He imprisoned the believers. He persecuted the believers. And then suddenly, he had a transformation. He said, I was actually called from my mother's womb, not for that, but for this. Because the gospel was given to me not by another person. It was given to me by Jesus himself. God revealed his son in me, and now I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Now I'm the evangelist to the Gentiles. Now I'm the apostle of grace, not the apostle of law, not the apostle of the traditions of the fathers. I'm the apostle of grace, and I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. And this was what was meant to be from the time I was born, and all the things I did up until that point, well, maybe they were preparation, but like he tells us in Philippians, he counted all that as loss compared to knowing Christ. All the academic things he did, he counted as loss compared to knowing Christ. And he goes on to say in the next verse that it's rubbish. He looks at it as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. It isn't rubbish in itself, but compared to knowing Christ, it's not what is actually required and the most meaningful thing. So he emphasizes that it was God's grace that called him to what he's doing now, called him to be preaching. And this is the part that always gets me ever since I started studying this 25 or 26 years ago or so. The fact that he goes and preaches to Gentiles who don't know anything about the patriarchs and don't know anything about the Jews waiting for a Messiah, nor do they know anything about what's going on in the temple, and nor do they care about any of those things. They could have cared less. But Paul comes, tells them the gospel, and they come to faith in the Jewish Messiah. And they understand that this is the only way of salvation. So you talk about radical transformation from Pharisee of Pharisees to Apostle of Grace, from Pharisee of Pharisees to Apostle to the Gentiles. And he says, the Son of God was revealed in me. He had this profound knowledge of Messiah through direct revelation. And then he went to preach him. He says he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't say, oh, I better go see what so-and-so thinks. Oh, I better go to Jerusalem right now and talk to Peter. Oh, I better find out. I'm not really qualified to do this. He says, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I was called by God. I didn't go to Jerusalem to talk with the other apostles who were apostles long before I was. He basically didn't need their input. Obviously, later he needs their fellowship and they work together. But he wants to make it clear to the Galatians that this was direct revelation and that he is the one to preach him, capital H, to preach Christ among the Gentiles. This was his calling from before the time he was born. He didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained there 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Afterwards, I went to Syria and Cilicia and so forth. So he got the revelation, he went to preach the gospel, and he's so concerned now that Galatians, as well as we in the 21st century, are falling for a false gospel. Ooh, time is going, the music's been playing. Well, thanks for tuning in, and join us next week on The Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week. An altar without